Hey, this is Russ. We are back to Freedom Encounters Internet course, the session 17 that we've been going through. If you have your notes, we are on page 46. May the Lord bless you and just keep you strong and give you tremendous perception, discernment, and great courage concerning this area. It is sad, isn't it, that there are many, many Christians that not only do they not know anything about this area, about any kind of deliverance, but a lot of believers I've met all over the place are afraid of the whole issue, afraid of demonic and so forth. It's really just quite sad. So, listen, we just pray that God will just make many of us just powerful Christians. Obviously, Psalms are a book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 22, where Saul of Tarsus, who got saved, filled with the Spirit of God, even from that point, some people say, well, I got filled with the Spirit of God back in 1960. Well, okay, what'd you do since then? You know, Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, filled with the Spirit of God, Acts 9:22, he became more and more powerful. Putting the Word of God into practice makes you more powerful. Praying in faith and fervency makes you more powerful. The prayers of a righteous man are effectual. They're powerful and effective. And being filled with the Spirit of God and being guided by the Spirit of the Lord, there's obviously a sense of power. So according to His power that is at work within us, we read that in Ephesians chapter 3 in the prayer. His power is operative in you. Obviously, power is a big issue. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, we read about the incomparably great power for us who believed. That power is like the working that was exerted in the resurrection of Christ. The power that raised Him from the dead is dwelling in you. Hallelujah. Greater is the one in you than the one that is in the world. Hallelujah. And so whether you're reading Ephesians 1 or going on to each chapter, you're going to be dealing a lot in that with the issue of the power of God residing in you, operative in you, and also coming through you in your prayers and service to the Lord. And we see this all the way to chapter 6 in Ephesians about the armor of God. It talks about being empowered by the mighty power of God, by the being strengthened by the strength. So the Greek word dunamis there is also used in its root with the idea that there is an expressed power, and the strength of God is literally manifesting through you as you're out there winning souls to Christ and leading even backslidden believers and so forth, and being a powerful witness and a servant of God in the context of your local church also. So when we go back to page 46, looking at the process, again, this is session 17, part 2, or B, the process for exposing, expelling demons in SRA and PD. Listen, Jesus sometimes just merely walked up on individuals who were demonized, and the power, literally the power of God, forced their manifestation. And I've seen that happen again and again and again in cases that we've dealt with where, just listen, a real believer, the power of God manifesting through your life, you think in terms of a demonized personality manifesting a demon. Listen, you and I are here to be manifesting the power of God through our personality. The difference is the demon takes over the personality in them. Whereas in us who are redeemed by Jesus, the Holy Spirit's power doesn't take our personality over. He flows through, like again, just like water through a cotton or something. I mean, here we are completely as the redeemed personality, but the Spirit's power, the power of God, flows through us, and literally our personalities aren't moved out of the way; they're heightened to their highest sense. So when a believer in Christ is filled with the Spirit of God, you are heightened to your highest sense of redeemed personality as the power of God is literally manifesting through your life as a Spirit-filled believer. In the demonized individual, it's quite different. They have to kick the personality or the person aside many times. And if they do come through a willing, or at least made to be willing, personality through programming, see, they got to have a channel to flow through. Just like God, the laws of engagement, God has a, the design is God has a vessel. We are vessels. And God literally moves through us. And the same is true on that side, that the demons know they have to have a legal vessel, a willing vessel. God wants a willing vessel on our side. And where there is Luciferians who are willing to be used and manifest demonic power and do so forth, well, a real believer coming up against that, there's just really a decimation to the Luciferian and to the powers that are inside. Now, the Luciferian and many chosen ones and priestesses on the inside especially will think themselves so highly exalted that you're a peon, that you should even be dealing with them, and why should she even be up talking to you, because you're nothing, and that they have high demons, and they'll know the name of their demons too, that they conjure and rely upon and so forth, and they seek to get in your head and all kinds of stuff. Well, you know what? Exercise the authority of Christ. Never back down, again, as we look over the process here in page 46, you take your full authority in Christ to trample, to overcome all the power of the enemy and nothing will harm you, and then command and demand them, order them precisely what to do as you're led by the Lord to, and where to go and what to do and so forth. Point C we were on, dealing with calling them up. If the Holy Spirit gives you a name of a demon, call that demon up. And many times the Holy Spirit gives you the name of head demons or the ruling spirits so that you can deal with them. And as they're uprooted by the roots, all the demons that have come in through them and with them that are under their authority could go with them. So call them up, call them out, call them back if they've been released. And by all means, by the Spirit of the living God, guiding and authority of the Lord, seek out every demon. Because every demon inside a multiple means, again, another hook for the enemy, another way of taking and stealing a part of their life. And we should have no problem, going after them to kick them out and so forth. Well, we have the issue of Holy Spirit perception that we need throughout the whole process, that we want to make sure that we command and demand that no demons will hide anywhere. Again, this takes a little bit of time, and with a multiple, it's a lot different than with a singleton. And so you're just going to have to take your time working through, and again, maybe relying on team members that are with you that might get, the Lord might give them a word or insight or, in the process. Sometimes I've had team members write down on a note a name of a demon or a function or whatever, and someone that I trust well, and then I might engage that. And sure enough, the bottom line, the proof's in the pudding as far as, an interaction occurring. Well, I want you to remember Isaiah 58 when we read about the true fasting the Lord talks about. And God really wants us to break the yoke. It talks about it there, that we're to spend ourselves on behalf of victims. Now, he says to break the yoke, and then it goes on to say this, and break every yoke. And that's the difference. Dealing with a singleton personality, a person, that any demonization, attachment, so forth, that really is a lot easier to deal with. But when you got a personality in front of you, a person, a human body, that has a primary, main person, but has 30, 40, 50, 60 other branches, personalities, that have been forcefully split, programmed, created, designed, demonized, and then they all kind of work and war together against your approach. So there is more complexity. But God wants you to continue to break the yoke and every yoke, every demon, and to go after all of them. And that's the way that they're going to ultimately get the freedom they're going to need. Well, let's look at point D. Seek the how and the why. Now, I will ask, in the process, again, I first rely upon the Spirit of God to tell me, write things down. I then sometimes engage the demonic when I feel led to demand that they say how many, or to demand, how they got in, or what else is going on. Sometimes how many and who are they under, what ruling spirit and so forth. And, and so you've got, you can do this along the way and demand, under the head demon or ruling demon, or if you're dealing with one personality and the head demon, like we had this one person, the head demon's name was Hector. And there were nine other spirits under him. But when we commanded for Hector and all that we dealt with Hector, you know, to leave and demanded that all nine go with him, all of them went out at once. Now, the demons that were in another personality on the other side of them, in a sense, didn't go out at that time. That can happen if you go after, again, the ruling demonic presence. And the Holy Spirit knows where they are. He knows who they are. And that's why, again, relying on the Lord to reveal that and bring that about. Now, asking sometimes how they got there can reveal, you know, the process and what to break, whether transferred through the grandfather, in a bloodline issue, whether in the marriage to the beast things of ownership. And again, so that a lot of times it's very good. There's nothing wrong with not only commanding demons to leave, but getting the personalities to renounce, you know, the doorway in which they came through, to come into that healing, saving, healing relationship on the inside with Jesus, turning to Jesus. And there's many times Jesus had them renounce the stuff and to renounce rituals and oaths, blood oaths, any contracts and so forth, to renounce anything and everything that became a doorway. That's all. There's just too many to list. You can have five pages, and I've seen that done where there's a page with 100 things on it, and you know, if you want to go one by one by one by one by one, well, that's fine. I just kind of take it to where I deal with what's in front of me until it's all gone. So if there is like 10 aspects in there, instead of reading over 100, doing a checkoff list, which, again, I'm not saying I'm opposed to. I'm just saying that dealing directly many times, because every multiple is a little bit different. The overall process that there's going to need to be, you know, learning them and understanding them and them you, the issue of deliverance first, ministry to the personalities and so forth, and talking and everything with them, inviting Jesus to come in when they're willing and so forth to bring the saving, inner healing, freedom, and the extraordinary ministry that he does, and then moving from there to all the other aspects and repeating that till all personalities are freed from the demonic, given over to the Lord, go with the Lord, or at least come under his lordship and do what he says, whether that, in some cases, enfolding into the whole of the personality, if that's what the Lord so directs. Because the ultimate goal is they come back to their originally created purpose. Now, I want to tell you something right here. There are times when some personalities do not want other personalities to leave. There are times that I've met with a host personality person who did not want other sub-personalities to go with Jesus. And what I've told them is that they're obstructing what Jesus wants. That's like if I come to the door and a good Christian knocks on the door and they're out soul winning, and the rest of my family's unsaved, and I stand at the door and they talk to me and I want to get saved and everything else, but I don't want to let them in to get to the rest of my family. That's how I see it sometimes. And that's what I tell guardians and others at times, that they're blocking what the real Jesus wants to do in coming in and ministering to everybody. Jesus wants to get to everybody. It's like a missionary going to a certain land and saying, well, I'm going to go to two huts, but I'm going to ignore 10,000 other huts. No, God wants us to go to every creature, every person, highway and byway. That's the command of Jesus. And I see that work, that principle of Jesus applied in a multiple, that he wants every personality, because you know what? Every personality represents a fracture, a trauma, a ripping, a devastation. Every part of that is the work of the enemy in killing, stealing, and destroying. And Jesus wants to give life and life abundant. And so if Jesus wants to get in and heal and take with him sub-personalities that he wants protected and healed, and what he does as far as taking, whether that means enfolding, you know, I leave that up to him. All I know is that when there's many personalities, most, you know, almost all every time, they want so badly to go with Jesus and be with him and be free, and they're happy to do so. But there's been times when other personalities don't want that to happen, and that because they don't want to miss, they don't want to be lonely. I've had some go away and call back the next day and say they're depressed. They no longer hear the little voices. They no longer have the little ones. Or they don't have a certain one that knew how to drive the car well. Or a certain one that knew how to, you know, cook better than they did. Well, God wants them to relearn some things and to begin to learn. God doesn't want them to dissociate that out to somebody else. Your personality, their personality, is not going to be fully developed if they dissociate everything off to others and dissociate what they don't like to others. Dissociation has to stop in this process. Dissociation began with trauma and demonization. God will give people the peace, the power, the presence if they yield to His way willingly, if they really want the Lord, you know, to work in their life. So, in the process of all of this, the power encounter many times is what causes, the power encounter is demonically. When I say that, I mean, sometimes I'll command a demon, I'll command them in front of everything inside of a person, because usually more than one is watching and observing, you know. Under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to express and confess out loud who truly is the Lord of heaven and earth. And, you know, they hate and they fight and they screech and they scream. And I tell them I will release them and command them out only until they, you know, because there's times that this, when they scream out, Jesus is Lord of all, then, because the first few times, sometimes demons say, Satan's the Lord, Satan's the Lord, you know, whatever. Well, you command and say, you know, that's a lie. He's not omnipresent. He is not God. He's not the infinite one. I command you again under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're going to find that demons will under that authority, have to confess this truth. Demons have never confessed Muhammad, by the way, or Buddha, or anybody else being Lord. They've never, just never have done that. And they are only affected by the real living Christ. And that power encounter seen by cult loyal personalities sometimes have caused them to immediately repent and immediately want to turn to Jesus and immediately want to release any other their satanically given powers and so forth, because they've seen a greater power. No question about that at all. And if you think in terms of Philip going into Samaria, the end of chapter 7 on all, and beginning of chapter 8, when he goes into an entire city, there's one individual who has the great power. And he's keeping everybody else, you know, attracted and under control and so forth and drawing everybody until a new power arrives. And when the new power arrives and is seen and demonstrated, then the people want the real, the new, they don't want the counterfeit. So power encounters like this, they're good for the other personalities to see even. That's true about the inner healing process, too, when the Lord is doing and operating some things, because they're amazed. They're fascinated. Don't forget that they were birthed in supernatural workings. They like supernatural stuff in a way, but when they see it done from the Lord Jesus, because they've always been told Jesus is powerless, Jesus can't do anything, Jesus is a liar, you know, all these things. Satan is powerful. But when they see that even you and I, as just mere Christians, with authority, take authority over demons and cast them out and command them out. And I've said this many times to cult loyal personalities. I said, look, you even know that I've had authority to command your the demons that were inside of you, you know, the multiple, to leave and to get out. And they had to obey, correct? And they acknowledged that. And that's something I've used in the evangelization of cult loyal personalities. Well, going to point E on page 46, expel them for good. Bottom line, like in Mark chapter 5 or in Acts when Paul dealt with the woman that had the python spirit, bottom line is to get out. Get them out. Because it's a detrimental, abnormal presence in a human being. We were not created for demonic presence. We were created for God's presence. Mark chapter 5, that man barely had any human shreds left in him. And Jesus came to cast out all that came in. Once one or two demons get in, more went in and more went in and more. Unabated, you know, maybe that's how it happened over time. More demons came in. Because once the door is open, they let others in. And I don't mean to be funny when I say when you see one cockroach, you know there's many more. Because when I was in college, I was hired by this fellow that I did all kinds of work for him, including going to his restaurants with a canister, you know, and killing the cockroaches. And we understood in that process that if you see one, there's probably 50 others. Well, the way the demonic works is to bring more and more and more and more and more. The way that they're trained in rituals is to bring more power and more power and more power and more power and all of that. So that's what it's all about, to gain more and more and more and more and more, and in a multiple to gain more in each of the personalities, so that the whole of them would be really highly enabled. That if you get some of the demons out of one area and one personality is healed and is freed and with Jesus, well, then there's maybe they got backup 10 other personalities. And they might even have some of the same exact kinds of personalities. They may have made 10 of one kind. And you're going to have to, you know, maybe call all of them to come around Jesus and for the ultimate healing and so forth. So anyway, the bottom line is to get them out. Now, people have always said, well, Russ, where do you cast them? I have no problem commanding them to go to the abyss. No problem whatsoever. I've dealt with this over the years and praying what the Lord wants me to do. Sometimes we command them, bottom line, get out and never come back. There's times Jesus didn't tell them where to go. Maybe there was an assumption, get out. Well, on the other side of that, there's this issue of they have feared going to the abyss. I've even said to some demons, in the few moments I'm going to command you, you're going to leave, and I'm going to command you to go to the abyss unless you confess right now what Christ himself tells you to confess. And they might all of a sudden confess, oh, the Father's involved, or you know, whatever else is, you know, needing to be unleashed at that time. Well, some have said in books that I've read, go to the feet of Jesus and do what he tells you to do. Now, that's not found anywhere in Scripture, but I don't find any prohibition against it. In this sense, I would just say, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit leading, perception, so forth, and do as you feel the Lord tells you to do. Obviously, I'll tell you about a deliverance one time that occurred with a young little girl. The mother was into witchcraft stuff. Anyway, when we began to pray with the little girl, the demonic presence immediately jumped into the mother that was already an open vessel for this. So it was a combination between the two, probably a familiar and bloodline. But right in front of four people, right in front of us. And the lady fell to the ground, was writhing all over, and you know, the demon was screaming out of her mouth. The little child was just as calm and peaceful. So we you know, everybody just was yelling, commanding the demons, whatever. But that's all that was done, this explosion of command to get out. Well, the demons then went right downstairs, because there's a youth meeting going on, that they've already dealt with a couple demonized kids. And all of a sudden, some of the kids felt that presence come through, and they screamed, and the kids went running left and right. And so there was a little bit of chaotic stuff going on. So you want to command them out in a way and never come back. Command them from touching anybody else in the room or coming from anybody. You know, command them as you see fit. And I personally have no problem commanding them to the abyss. I know they fear that issue. But sometimes, again, it's just coming, get out, and don't you come back. Don't you, you know, you will never touch this person again, etc. Again, precision in your commanding and demanding. Demand it with precise, you know, language, because that's, they take it legally. If you just say, get out, and all they do is go stand over the corner, that's another issue. So command them to completely leave and leave the area. Or go to the abyss. Or if the Lord gives you another insight of what to do, do that. But the bottom line is, never come back. They are gone. Here's the principle. They are gone when they are gone. And you better know for sure that cult multiples know when all those dark presences on the inside are gone. And so there needs to be a sense of, how do you find that out for sure, a sense of clarity? Well, through that invitation of Jesus coming in and a healing process going on and all the personalities, and just checking, searching. Remember how we started this whole course with Psalm 139, you know? Search me, O Lord, see if there's anything, you know, offensive in me, and so forth. So the Lord knows how to search. There's no demon can hide from him, and no personality, by that way, by you know, also, by the way, can't hide from Jesus. If they're hiding because they're unwilling, again, there's another issue. If there's an unwillingness and they don't want to come into the light, I mean, here's a scripture in John 3 that says, this is the verdict, light has come to the world, but men love darkness rather than the light. And So some don't want to come out of that darkness. And that's part of the overall, you know, some individuals believe, like the rule of the victor with Pastor Anspach from Altoon, Pennsylvania, the idea that if you get to the original human person and go from that point on and they turn to Jesus and they're born of the Spirit of God, well, the idea is that then, the idea like sanctification away, but, you know, keep working with them and getting every demon out and all of the work of God in, and that they'll eventually become completely one and whole and healed and delivered because you began with the original created person. In a way, I agree with that completely because that's the ultimate thing. But the idea of dissociation beginning even maybe in conception through the demons that create that. So I just know this. When you're dealing with a person as a whole, the host person will never be asked to leave and go with Jesus. Never. Many other personalities I've seen across the board, hundreds, literally at this point thousands, have said, have been called on by Jesus to come with him. To come with him. That's all I know. Whether that's that he literally brings them into the person or whatever. There's times I felt the Lord, as he heals them and delivers them and frees them, the effects of that healing and so forth kind of vibrates back out into the whole of the personality. And ultimately, the real person eventually won't have any demons, any sub-personalities, programming, and so forth. Instead, they would have Jesus as Lord and Savior. They would have the Holy Spirit in them and the beautiful empowerment to be sanctified and to grow in the Lord and develop, just like you and I. And they're going to be called upon to be aggressive about that, and they need to be. And I encouraged even multiples who are mostly healed, or maybe you're all the way healed that are listening to this. God, the Word of God applies to you as a whole now. Take up your cross. Romans 12:11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Or if you read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, you know, that we're to walk worthy of the calling we've received in the Lord. Too much mercy is given, there many times we love, a lot of love is given back to Jesus. Jesus, the real Jesus. I've seen a lot of multiples go halfway and decide not to go the rest of the way. I've seen some that have gone through a partial process and not have somebody be able to help them with programming and deliverance and just bury that side of them seemingly and go on to try to live. But again, it's like trying to live with bricks tied around your back, and you can't be completely free. So the bottom line is, the ultimate is deliverance from all the demons, healing, ministry to all the personalities, the miracle of either what some people have called integration. I don't like to use the term myself, but the enfolding. Or just simply going with Jesus, and that in itself is what he does is he heals the person at that moment, and no personality dies, no personality is annihilated, but redemption has come and a glorious work of God has come, and even when there's no other sub-personalities at all. And no demons at all. Well, the individual needs to know that they've surrendered to be filled with Jesus Christ, which is completely different than what they were before. To be growing in the Word, and I would say along the way, get the main person and any other parts of personality to seek the Lord, to obey the Word of God, to quote the Scriptures, and to fight and move forward, and that will help in the process of them getting healed fully quicker. Point F47, page 47, point F, a comprehensive approach in the idea of full warfare. So when you're dealing with occult multiple, here's what you've got as just an overall look at all of this when warfare comes in. Because you're going to experience it in many different directions. But again, no matter how many demons, I don't care if all the demons of hell come after you, if you're, you know, you're standing in the authority of the Lord, and 1 Peter chapter 1, we read that we are shielded by God's power through faith in Christ. The armor of God, even Satan himself, we resist the devil, he flees. James chapter 4. Submit to God and then resist the devil. And so please understand, it's not a matter of battle. It's a matter, again, on the one hand, of building and blessing, with, and on the other hand, there might have to be a sword. And in these days, in the ramping up of the demonic realm and the work of Satan, the closer we get to the agenda of the Black Awakening, the rise of the Antichrist, you better believe there's going to be more attack and more manifestation. All the more for you and I to unleash the authority of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus for the human, the authority of Jesus over the demonic. Comprehensive approach deals with what? Them. And all the demonic stuff that was on, the many personalities and everything else. Them. All the demons that want to come back to draw them back and claim ownership and all that. Getting rid of everything there. Demons that the coven sins. You know, dealing with that and praying, you know, again, against the coven and asking God to visit people in that coven, expose them, bring them down, crush their demons, crush their rituals, etc. Releasing warfare on the details of what you know in the coven. Coven gets them back. Sometimes that happens. And if the coven people get them back, usually what occurs is they take them through rituals to re-demonize parts of them and to bring more demonic powers in to guard them against you and warn them from coming back to you and threatening them and maybe even threatening you. Well, again, comprehensive warfare. God sends your angels. Come on in, Lord Jesus, and deal with them and deal with the handlers and anybody else that's involved. Enforcers and watchers. Then there's just simply you in the normal sense. Listen, I've said earlier on that every Christian at times gets oppression. At times gets an attack from the enemy. But I think that when you're dealing with these, I think anybody who's a soul winner is going to get attacked. I think anybody who's doing anything to advance the kingdom of God, really advance the kingdom of God. Let me tell you who's not going to be worried about getting, you know, spectator Christians, backslidden believers, things like that. If there's such a thing as a liberal church, because really, if a liberal church that denies the authority of Scripture, the infallibility of Scripture, and even denies Jesus as the only Savior, I think they've denied the very cardinal central issue. And I don't know if they would really be considered a church. If you look and take a look at the seven churches of Revelation, Jesus has a right to dispel an entire local church depending on its relationship to him. Well, bottom line is you may get attacked at times or whatever else, and just, you know, you keep your prayers up and keep a guard. And if you're in your daily prayer time, again, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, you know, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful. You know, that means just a spirit of just taking kind of a scan, a look, seeking the Lord. Is the enemy coming in any way? Is there anything I should perceive? Anything I need to pray against? Lord, give me protection. Bottom line, the other side is also the idea of backlash. If you've been doing a lot of this kind of ministry and you've been healing, you know, in the name of Jesus, seeing people saved, healed, and delivered, if you have been winning a number of people to Christ, if you've seen exposure of covens, if you've been able to pluck out some little kids from stuff, well then, you know, sometimes they would like to just, you know, ritual, you know, covens, and they might call them bigger leaders or whatever to do what they can against you. I've had numerous people write me and tell me, oh, we know of 10 different groups that are praying against you and blood rituals and this and that. Well, all I know is I am still here today. I love Jesus. He loves me. I've had hell to face at times. But you know what? I just know Jesus is superior to all of it and what his grace and mercy is and my focus on him alone and loving him. Listen, please understand, when I go to the store or go down to, you know, the coffee shop or the bookstore, you know, I have fun in my life also. I have fun and I do things. Man, I work in the yard, you know, during the week where I love putting flowers out and cutting grass and working and cutting logs and doing other stuff. And I'm even a football fan of the Green Bay Packers, and, you know, I love and pray for Brett Favre. And so what I'm saying here is that don't just become demon conscious every second of the day. Live for Jesus. Be Jesus conscious. And be focused on Jesus. I'm not sitting around watching my back. You know, I in my prayer time, I cover things. when I feel I need to do something, if I need to get up in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock in the morning and walk through my house and check the windows and stuff like that, I've done that. If I need to get up in prayer, I've done that. My wife's done that. So I just want you to make sure that there, you know that, yes, there's backlash. But there's also frontlash. This is where God comes in. Psalm 18, God helps you. God delivers you. God protects you. God guards you. God guides you. God's there to protect you. Angels are around you. So I like to be Christ conscious. I like to have the perception of the Holy Spirit to walk in the Lord. And realize, too, that warfare comes against your team members. If you got new team members, too, newer, younger team members, to keep them in prayer and to pray as a team. Usually after sessions are done, if I'm there an hour or 2 hours in a session, and I don't go much longer than that, we'll put it off. You know, we used to go 8 hours in a session, and everybody be wore out and tired and have to go home and want to, you know, I just don't do that any longer. You know, we might go to a couple hours in a session and then wait till later on the day or the next day if I'm doing something over a period of 2 or 3 days because I don't want to wear out the human physical side of the person in front of me. And I also want to be, you know, fresh and so forth. Now, that doesn't mean that if there's a demon manifestation that I say, oh, the 2 hours is up. I don't play that game at all. What needs to be done needs to be done. And then we just go back at it at another point if we need to continue. Pray over your area where you live. Cover every, just simply, you know, be in mind of covering everything. If you're devoted to prayer, praying about everything, then you're also going to be to where you're watchful, being watchful. Being watchful means that you're looking for any imminent danger. I do that in my prayer time. Other than that, I don't. If I'm out cutting the grass, I was planting flowers today, I'm not sitting around looking around to my left, to my right. I don't sit around nervous. I sit around trusting the Lord, and I've seen Him so many times protect me, guard me, give me a heads up and warn me, and bring me through times. So the Lord bless you in your walk that way, and that He has designed victory for us, the armor, the authority, everything else for us. But be comprehensive in covering all that you feel God wants you to cover in dealing with multiples, because you're dealing with literally Satan's soldiers that he's trying to raise up, and you're trying to bring them back to be redeemed and delivered and healed and filled up with Jesus Himself. Point G on page 47 is the part of the bottom line is protection and prayer, what I'm just now mentioning. You know, really know Psalm 91 and get the main person to read that and others and really study and go over again and again, you know, the issue here in Psalm 91 of God's protection, of us being under Him and letting Him be our refuge, our shield. And I have no problem. I delight coming under the Lord. It's not about Russ out there attacking the demonic world. I'm under the Lordship of Jesus. And He's the King. He owns the final authority over all of it. And I'm a servant. And I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that. But I also know what He's given us. Clothing us with power of the Holy Spirit. Giving us authority to trample on the demonic. And to deal with that. And help human beings get set free from captive, being taken captive to do Satan's will. Well, Jesus said also in Luke 17, 18, chapter 10 to 17, 18, that He's given us authority to trample snakes and scorpions, overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Jesus, those are His words. Cling to that, that nothing will harm you. Now, in 1 John 5, you can also go there to read about how that He will keep us protected from the evil one. He even mentions there, the Holy Spirit does, where the evil one is in control of the whole world. But guess what? That Jesus would protect us. You know what? He is alive and active in protecting you. He is alive and active in protecting you and guarding you and keeping you safe. John chapter 17, protecting from the evil one. That's what it's all about. And we thank the Lord Jesus for His protection. And yes, it's good to have many prayer warriors, and God works through that. And I felt far better coverage when we have many, many, you know, prayer teams. At one point, I think we had seven shatter prayer teams out there and covering every day and praying for each other. And we did. We felt much more covered and protected because, again, on the field out here before heaven comes, before we go to meet the Lord, this is where it's all being done now. And the laws of engagement are here. That's why Moses had to keep his arms up and pray until the battle was done. That's why you got to keep working and working and working and working and working with a multiple. And they have to keep seeking and seeking and seeking the Lord and fighting, you know, to get drawn near and so forth too. So that all the demons get, you know, exposed and expelled. That all of the personalities get their healing and get to come before Jesus and to go with him ultimately. And that they be, again, surrendered, born of the Spirit, of it, and have the Spirit of adoption, be filled with the Spirit, and be able to serve the Lord and live free in Christ. Now, I've tried to read every single thing there is out there on multiples. I don't know if I'm missing somebody out there or not, but every time I go to the store, every time I look up on Amazon, I've tried to read every single thing I could find on every aspect, from military mind control issues and aspects and to every kind of book, to every kind of self-book written by former multiples. Most of the multiple books written by multiples that I've read are usually multiples who are mostly set free. Some of them are set free enough to where they can function in life, and some of them have become just simply New Agers and stuff, and that's detrimental. And that's a sad thing. But I understand that they haven't had the full process of Jesus healing them and showing who he really is in comparison to what they were taught. And that's a tragedy because the whole issue is that these people, Satanists and Luciferians, have done everything they can to keep multiples away from the real Jesus. That's the whole issue. Well, under the last thing here, H, page 47, teach them. Teach the person. And I've even seen where personalities in the process of this deliverance and healing and so forth, seeing personalities begin to pray and seek the Lord and have encounters with the Lord and you know what they could do. But ultimately teaching the person to, you know, that's discipleship. Teaching them to exercise, to, you know, acknowledge the authority of the Lord, to use the authority to rebuke demons being sent against them, to do all that, you know, we know to do, to study, to get in the Word of God, to find out what Jesus wants them to do with spiritual gifts, and to be a part of living and loving, and if called to be involved in this great battle of getting others out. They can learn, and they must. They must learn to put the Word of God into practice and to grow so that they can have the full impact of the victories of Jesus experienced in their life as you and I are experiencing those victories. Well, listen, this is the end of part two, session 17 in the Freedom Encounter course. And I'm going to again ask the Lord specifically and just trust him to richly bless you, grant you tremendous discernment, and give you a spirit of wisdom and a spirit by which nobody can stand up against that when you're dealing with personalities to speak to them. God will just give you the beauty of his wisdom and solutions and answers and so forth in ministry. And then listen, you know, go enjoy your family. Go enjoy, you know, the life God has given you and the enjoyment of things. And read some other stuff. And but God bless you for being a warrior. God bless you. Maybe some of you are just getting into dealing with multiples and others. And I already know this. Some of you are in this course right now. And some of the people that will buy this course later on and get into it will be some folks that have never even dealt with multiples yet. And that's okay. Nobody says you have to, you know, make that your field. Deliverance is deliverance. And freedom is freedom, whether it's a singleton or, and there's far more singletons than there are multiples. You know, billions of us who have never been split and programmed and so forth with subpersonalities. But there are a few million that have been. And this is part of the prophetic agenda, and we're seeing what the Holy Spirit showed us in the Word of God. We're able to now say, hey, this is that which 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is talking about in the coming rise of Antichrist and so forth. This is that which we've read about in Matthew 24, you know, or in the book of Jude and so forth and so on, about the ramping up and end days activities of seducing spirits coming through to even cause people to leave the faith, Christendom, and you're going to see a lot of that, as we've seen in denominational faith and stuff like that, where there are people that, you know, I even met a professor. He wasn't even he was an outward believer, but he denied the power. He wasn't born of the Spirit of God. He didn't know the Lord personally. Bottom line, anybody who's really born of the Spirit, what does that mean? It means you really know Jesus Christ. You really know that He's your Savior, that you're in literal fellowship with God, and that every promise of God is given to you, that all the Word of God is given to you, and that the embrace of the Father, you know, is with you, and the giving of the robe of righteousness and the ring of ownership and authority, and the feet, you know, shod with those shoes that He gives us to be able to walk in the Spirit and so forth. But the bottom line is that great big hug the Father gives us prodigals, the great big wrapping around of His arms. Let me tell you something, that should mean more to you than anything else, that the living, infinite, immeasurable God is also the most personal relational being. At the core of His being, the central attribute is love. God so loved you that He sent His monogenesis, the one and only of a kind, Jesus Christ. And that is awesome. Listen, go get refreshed in the Lord. Go get built up in the Lord, like Jude, the Holy Spirit says in Jude, build yourself up in your most holy faith. You know, and don't make decisions when you're tired and beaten down. Wait till you're led by the Lord and strengthened. And I think I'm saying a few things for some of you that the Lord might be wanting to speak and encourage you with. And so I just simply say again, may the Lord truly bless you, strengthen you, encourage you. May He give you right now, the Holy Spirit reminds you of verses, pertinent verses of Scripture. I pray that He does that today, that He'll remind you when you shut this off of other verses that He wants to give to you and wants you to grip and to appropriate and to experience the truth behind those verses. So again, I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. From the Freedom Encounters course, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. God bless you, my brother and sister.